At this time, I would like to invite our guest speaker, Pastor Sines, to come on up and present his message this morning.
Well, we're going to be referring to Mark chapter 2, and I thank Kelly for reading that this morning for us. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear God, in the quietness of these few moments, as we reflect upon our worship experience this morning, through song, through opportunity to serve, through mission, through fellowship, through your word, God, we continue to ask for your spirit to move within our hearts and within our minds. God, here we are, speak to us. God, here I am, use me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable unto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was growing up, I was about 6 years old, and we spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house, and we continue to spend a lot of time at my grandparents' house as they age gracefully. And my sister, my oldest youngest sister, was three and I was six. And we were there because my parents were expecting our youngest sister to be born. So they were in the hospital. And so as they were there and we were outside playing, and at my grandparents' house, there are a set of steps, a set of basement steps outside around back. And we knew that we weren't supposed to be there. We knew that we weren't supposed to play around back because there were just basement steps that went down. There were probably a set of 15 to 20 steps. And we were outside playing, and at some point, my grandparents were out there as well. And at some point, I remember not being able to find my sister. And I thought, oh, this isn't good at the age of six. And from the murky details that I can remember and from what my parents fill in for me and my grandparents as well, I remember seeing her at the bottom of the steps, and I remember seeing blood. And at that point, I knew that this wasn't good. And so somehow I got her up. My grandmother told me up to the top of the steps. And I guess we all wanted to be together to see my youngest sister be born, because we ended up at the hospital as well that evening, that day. And Jennifer, she's fine now, that's her name, and she's a teacher and doing well. But I remember the thought processes that went through a six-year-old's brain as trying to help someone, right? And if you've ever tried to help someone along their journey, you know that that can be challenging and difficult. And I want us to think about that this morning, is who are we helping? And what kind of help do we need in our faith journey, as we look at Mark 2, 1 through 12. There's a lot going on here, right? There's a lot of moving parts. It's a small room, right? It's a small room. And so there's a lot of people in this room. Now, you may ask yourself, why is there a lot of people? Well, Jesus is there, right? But guess what? He's been there before to Capernaum. If you go back to Mark 1, verse 21, he's already been there to Capernaum, and he has healed people, and he has taught, and they know that he's important. And so when someone important shows up, guess what? You show up too. And so they're all in this room together, and it's tight. And so you can imagine that the everyone's standing except the religious leaders. And so they're sitting down. That says something. We'll talk about that later. That says something. They're sitting down and everyone else is standing, and they're listening to Jesus teach. And it's crowded. And something begins to happen, right? Something begins to happen. Eric, I'm going to turn this on. I'll see if I can move, right? Yeah, can you still hear me? Yeah, good. Okay. I want you to imagine that you're in the room. And something happens. Dirt is falling on your head, right? Right? Because people are digging through the roof. And this roof, for Mediterranean biblical times, is flat. And there's probably a ladder outside that they can get to, because that's where they went in the evenings when it was cool. So they would go up into the roof, and we would think that that would be hot to climb up, right? But they're going up to cool themselves, and so the roof is probably flat. And so these friends, four of them, of this gentleman, are digging, right? And so imagine that you're there, and Jesus is teaching, and guess what? We're all human. We, our eyes and our focus go where the attention is, right? So everyone would say, look up, right? Jesus knows that. And the story continues, right? So why are they there? Why do they want to get there? So there's a lot going on. The first point we want to look at is there's a sense that there's a need for spiritual and physical restoration, right? There's brokenness. She took her paper from me. Kelly took her paper, right? But we all are broken, right? We all have scars. All of us have a need for physical and spiritual healing. Guess what? So did this paralyzed man. From birth, he's been like this. He's broken. It doesn't take much for us to know that the world is broken, right? You just have to turn on the news. Maybe you just have to take a walk in your neighborhood. But the world's a broken place, folks. And there is a need out there for people to be healed. And Jesus knows that when the gentleman comes down, the paralyzed man comes down. And I just want you to think about for a moment that on all the Sunday school literature that I've seen growing up, that when they lower the man, he's horizontal, right? Most every picture shows that he's horizontal. My guess is they didn't dig a hole that big, right? They probably lowered him vertically, right? Feet first. Just so a big enough hole to get him in. He needs healing, right? And Jesus looks at him and he says, your sins are forgiven. Because he understands not only does he need physical healing, but he needs spiritual healing. He's paralyzed. And this morning I want us to ask our question, what has paralyzed our faith? What's paralyzed our faith? What scars do we have? What brokenness is keeping us from following Jesus? He wants to heal it for us, just like he healed the paralyzed man. James 1, 2 and 4 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Romans, Paul says this, chapter 5, 2 and 4. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory, rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Everyone's broken. Everyone needs healing. Physical, spiritual, relational. So what's paralyzed our faith this morning? I want us to think about that. Number two, the determination to seek Jesus. Verses 3 and 5 of Mark 2. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus. And after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. I don't know about you, but when I see crowds, I have a tendency to avoid them. Right? I mean, if something's crowded, I'm going to stop. But these men and four of them get to the place where they know Jesus is, because they know that Jesus can help, that he can heal, that he can save. And so they get there and they can't get in the doors. And so they are so determined to get to Jesus. How determined are you to get to Jesus this morning? I have a 8-year-old son, one of three children, and early on in life, we realized that my son was very determined. You may also call it stubbornness. He is very stubborn, and he gets it honestly. And so as he's 2 and 3, and we realize that after having 2 daughters, we know nothing about parenting because now we have a boy. And so our son is 8 now, and he's still stubborn as he was when he was 2. But I was having a conversation with my granddad when he was 2 about his stubbornness. And he said, let me tell you a story, Kevin. So my granddad, Browning, tells me a story about my great-granddad, Creed. And we named Eli Creed. And so maybe that was our mistake. And so he shares this story with me. He says, when Creed, my great-granddad and my granddad went hunting out west, they guided elk out west for years, 40-plus years. At this lodge. And so one time when Creed was out there, he told the lodge folks that he would love to kill a mountain lion. And so they remembered that. And so in March of 1 year, he got a phone call and said, Creed, this is Paint Rock Lodge. We have a mountain lion treed. Would you like to come and kill it? He said, yeah. Well, back in West Virginia, it was March, and it was one of the biggest snowstorms of the year. The blizzard conditions in Petersburg, which is where my family lives. And so he calls Browning on the phone and says, hey, Browning, we got to go to Dulles Airport. I'm flying to Wyoming. You're going to take me, and I'm going to go kill this mountain lion. And he said, Dad, it's snowing. Have you looked outside? There's feet on the ground. The wind is blowing. The visibility is bad. And you want me to drive you from Petersburg to Washington, D.C., 4 hours in the snow? Yes. He says, I'm not doing it. He says, because, you know, my granddad is an adult. He says, I'm not doing it. He said, yes, you are. You're going to take me, and I'm going to kill the mountain lion. So they get into the car. They drive slowly. Granddad recalls a story that he can only see the tracks in front of him, barely the yellow line, not the white line. And they drive to Washington, D.C. He gets on the plane, and we have the hide of a mountain lion in my granddad's basement. I tell you that story why? Because he knew what he wanted. Now, right or wrong, good or bad, whatever you think about hunting, he was determined to get what he wanted, right? The determination that sometimes we have of other things in life, we can list, right? I was so determined to do this that I worked so hard to get at it, right? I was so determined to finish school, which is a good thing, that I did this and this. Sometimes we make sacrifices, right? What sacrifices are we making in our determination to seek Jesus? And then who are we helping along to, right? Maybe you're not the one who needs the help. We all need the help in some way. But these 4 friends, 4 of them, they help someone get to Jesus. Who are we helping get to Jesus, folks? Who are we helping see Christ? And what gets in our way? Many times in our determination to seek Jesus, we get in the way. We do. We get in our own way. Whether it's life or school or work or family or friends, all good things. But sometimes we get in our own way. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Meaning we don't have to worry about the other things if we seek Jesus first. Those friends knew if they sought Christ first, their friend would be healed, not just physically, but spiritually too. Who are we helping get to Jesus? So the determination to seek Jesus in the midst of brokenness. Why? Because Jesus has authority, the third point. The authority of Jesus. 6 and 7 of chapter 2. Now there were some teachers of the law there who were sitting there, thinking to themselves, just thinking, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing when he said, your sins are forgiven. Because in their mind, they know that only God can forgive sins. So by Jesus saying, your sins are forgiven, what is he saying about himself? He's God. Yes, he's God. And he is the Son of God. And he's come to forgive sins. And boy, did that really ruffle their feathers, right? They were squirming in their seats, I'm sure. Right? It says that they kept thinking that he's blaspheming, and he knew their hearts. The authority of Jesus Christ on earth, the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives. We have to ask ourselves, what authority does Jesus have in our life? And who has the authority in our life? You know, many times we talked a little bit about the world, many times within our culture, within the media, within the world, the one in politics and relationships and the culture, the one entity that has probably more authority than what we realize, the media, right? They drive it, right? What has authority in your life this morning? Who has authority in our life? Is it Jesus and God's word, or is it something else? We have to ask ourselves that question, just like we have to ask ourselves what's paralyzed our faith and how determined I am to get to Jesus, because this story has so much. But ultimately, the story's main point is that Jesus has the authority of God, and he wants to have the authority in our life. In all of our lives, in every decision we make, in everything that we do, it's all about Christ. But many times, in the midst of crowded space, in the midst of a crowded life, we seek other avenues of authority, right? What happens at the end of the story? He's healed, right? He looks at him and says, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he gets up. It's crowded, right? Remember, he gets up and he leaves a different way than what he came in, right? He came in through the roof, but he leaves in view of all of them. So what does this paralytic have to do to get out the door? Have you ever walked? Have you ever been going the wrong way walking and everyone else is coming this way? Listen, it's no fun, right? And so he had to squeeze his way, right? And he's touching them. It's a miracle in view of all of them. He's been healed. And they celebrate, right? Because they praise God, saying they've never seen anything like that before. There are times within all of our lives where we've experienced something, and we say, I've never felt like that before, right? I've never experienced that before. A moment when Jesus, when God's Holy Spirit interacts with us for the first time, for the second time, in the midst of our lives. Is life full of scars and brokenness? Yes. But is Jesus Christ full of hope and healing and love? Absolutely. And he wants us to experience it today, every day, and to celebrate it. But something amazing happens here. Something I want us to think about this morning as well, as we think about what's paralyzed our faith, and how determined are we to see Jesus, and who are we helping to see Jesus, and who has the authority in our lives. He leaves the mat there. He doesn't take it with him. The mat, the symbolism of brokenness, of holding on to something, of being paralyzed, of not being able to walk, not being able to interact with people, not being able to live life. He's held on to it for so long, folks. He leaves it. He doesn't take it with him. He takes his mat with him, but he doesn't take it in the same way he came in. He walks with it. It doesn't have control over him anymore. And folks, there are things within our lives sometimes that control us and keep us from having and experiencing the authority of Jesus and faith in our lives. May we not let the mats of the world control us. May we seek the one who has authority, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the story of the paralytic, how he gets up and takes his mat and he walks, doesn't control him anymore. God, and in each of our lives, you know what's going on. You know the brokenness. You know the challenges we face. May we not seek another authority, but only you, God. When we want to know how to proceed, when we want to know our source of healing and our source of comfort, may we go straight to you. Thank you for these people. God, challenge us, encourage us as we live out our faith to follow you every day, to be so determined to get to you. Thank you for this time we could share in your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.